You're listening to Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. Stay connected by rating, subscribing, and commenting on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And now for this week's episode. Hey guys, it's Eva, and I am here talking Aquaman. Now, if you have been listening to me for a while and you love to listen to my MCU and DCEU convos or discussions, then you have probably been waiting to hear what I have to say about Aquaman, because I have not been too kind to the DCEU, if we're to keep it 100% real here. So, I mean, of all of them, I think the one that has fared pretty well as far as my discussions go has been Wonder Woman. So there is that. And so you can go back if you are listening to me for the first time, you just happen to stumble on this and you're like, what is she talking about? You can go back and you can listen to my discussions on pretty much all of the DCEU movies. I have a discussion on, so you can go to Suicide Squad, Batman v Superman, Wonder Woman, what else? Justice League. You can go listen to all those. Those were all when the podcast was Glam Deets, but it's all still available to listen to. So you can go and listen to that. Mind you, it might sound a little different than what I sound like today, but there is that. So yeah. So we're just going to get right into this. For what had to be one of the longest movies, this is going to be a movie quickie. And I want to forewarn you guys because I know this is called Currently Binging. This is what I do. I discuss TV shows and movies. I love discussing TV shows and movies. But moving forward, especially going into 2019, and just how the superhero universe or movie-verse or however you want to call it, because I'm just speaking about them all in combination, not necessarily the two separate entities. A lot of these movies are going to be long, and for me, we're going to have to start justifying the length of some of these movies, because just saying it's a superhero movie and going in being like, oh, it's going to be 2.5 hours, it's not going to cut it anymore for me. So if my rating is slightly off from what you would rate the movie, then it's most likely due to my thoughts and feelings and opinion on the length of the movie. And that's why I call these discussions, because we can all have our own opinions and no one's opinion is right or wrong. It's just there for us to have open dialogue. So want to put that out there, because when I get into, because, you know, I have notes. When I get into this, I am going to talk about the length of the movie, and that is going to be play a big role in how I rate this in the end. So yeah, let's get into this Aquaman. I feel like when I say let's get into this, it should be some type of like explosion or music or something like that, but we're going to keep it simple, guys. So yeah. Aquaman, so let's talk numbers, because you guys know that's what I love to do. Currently, Rotten Tomatoes, 64% critic score, audience score is 85%, which makes sense, especially when you factor in the cinema score, which is an A-. So I can see why a lot of people enjoyed this movie from the audience viewpoint, and then I can also see why we're sitting in the 60 percentile range when we talk critic score, because just based off of how I felt about some of this, mostly around the storyline, the plot, if you will, I could see why it could fare a little bit lower on the critic side. But then, I mean, it's a fun movie at the end of the day. So there is that. So those are those scores. As far as box office, so when I checked Box Office Mojo for the opening weekend, $67.4 million. And then it was saying as of today, or as of the time that I checked, we were at the 72.1 million. So there's that total. When we factor in domestic and international, we're sitting at the 482.8 million mark. So, I mean, the budget for this movie is around $200 million. And they're definitely going to, I think, make it back just based off of how it's faring so far. So yeah, those are the numbers. And that is that. Let's get into now the nitty gritty. So Aquaman starring Jason Momoa, Amber Heard, Nicole Kidman, Patrick Wilson, Willem Dafoe, directed by James Wan. And then the screenwriters, David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick and Will Bill. So yeah, so let's just start with, because usually I tend to move my theater reaction towards the middle or the end, but we're going to start with theater reaction for this one, because like I said, this was overall a fun movie, but was it a funny movie as in like making people laugh? There were a few chuckles, but overall, and mind you, this is opening weekend, so I saw it on a Saturday, like middle of the afternoon. Every seat was filled. I saw it, I should say what format I saw it in. I didn't see it in 3D or IMAX. It was just like your standard movie, standard digital viewing. So there was that, which it probably would have looked amazing in IMAX, not gonna lie. And probably even in 3D, IMAX 3D. Was it in IMAX? I don't think. See, this is what I do. I start in my head thinking of things, and then that's how we get off tangent. But the theater overall was pretty quiet. So I was surprised when we got to the end and everyone was like clapping. It's like, oh, so you guys enjoyed it, huh? Because it seemed like you guys weren't really all that invested in it. But that being that, we are going to get right into my thoughts on the overall movie. So like I said, the movie was almost 2.5 hours. It was 2 hours and 22 minutes. That is a long movie, guys. I mean, I don't think, I would have to look this up. I don't think it's the longest superhero movie that we've gotten to date, but it was pretty long. So the fact that it felt long, and I am an avid person who believes, or avid movie watcher who is like, put your phone away. Do not put your phone out in the theater. I don't care. I don't want to see any lights from anyone until the end of the movie. But even I had to pull my phone out to see what time it was, because like, this is so long. And I was even at some moments kind of trying to keep myself from falling asleep. And I was just like, okay, I know I've been tired all week, but I actually slept in a little bit today, so I should feel well enough to be able to sit through this movie. And I was had to check myself a couple of times because I was about to nod off, and I was like, oh no, we can't do that. And you know a movie is long when the movie ends and then the people in the theater are like, that was a long movie, as they're getting up and leave it. Mind you, like I said, they clapped at the end of it, but it was still, people were voicing their concern or acknowledgement that the movie was long. And to me, if you're going to have a movie be that long, it should not feel that long. And there have been instances where there have been long movies and I didn't feel like it was dragging on, and it was just like, it kept me engaged fully all the way through until it was the end. I was like, oh my gosh. And I'm not going to name any movies here because I don't want this to turn into a comparison of anything. And also because it's supposed to be a quickie. And like I said, not all things are going to be bad about this, even though right now it may seem that's where I'm headed. But have hope, folks. Have hope. So that's what I was like, when we started talking about the length of these movies, it has to make sense and there has to be a justifiable reason for why the movie is that long. And usually the movie is long due to the plotting of it. And this, now we're not going to talk The Amazing Spider-Man lengths as far as how overstuffed that was with all the everything that's happened in this, but this was close. There was a lot of stuff going on in the storyline where if we would have got rid of a couple of things, we could have had a more concise movie plot-wise that could have moved along, and it didn't feel like so much was happening and like the plot was a little bit convoluted, if you will. So I can name, because I literally wrote down like all the different storylines that we had in this. So I said, you had Arthur's inner struggle with himself, Orm trying to kill the surface dwellers, Orm trying to gather all the undersea nations together to fight with him, Arthur trying to take his place as the rightful king, Black Manta as our secondary villain, a cross-country adventure story, and then we top it all off with a romance story between Arthur and Mara. And I'm pretty sure I'm probably leaving something out, but you get my drift. There was a lot happening in this movie, and I was just like, okay. And then it wasn't even that. It was so much, and then you have to be like, oh, I don't even know how to explain this. It was so much to the point that when I say some of it could have been trimmed, I also feel like, and I wrote this down, that the overall story felt a little bit like story by numbers or comic story by numbers, where it was very predictable. And again, I forgot to give my little warning at the beginning, but forewarn you, I am not the comic book expert. I have not read that many comics in my lifetime, to be honest. I just really love the movie. So I'm speaking from that viewpoint, and also from someone who doesn't have a lot of comic book background. But I will do research and all that stuff if I need to kind of get a little more information before I'll do these whole discussions or whatever. But keep that in mind. So don't try to come for me because I don't know every single thing about the comic books. But 9 times out of 10, majority of the people who went to go see this movie probably didn't know much about Aquaman going into this. Let's be real, because I went with people who didn't really know a lot about Aquaman, and they were, even as we were watching the movies, which is another pet peeve of mine, is talking during the movie and then saying things that you think are going to happen before they happen. But there was a lot of that going on. So that's why I say it was kind of like a story by numbers, because it felt like as a viewer, we could easily predict what the next move was going to be before it even happened. So there is that. What else? Because I have a lot of points under the whole storyline. Like I said, some of it could have been cut out. We probably could have, because even before we see the mid-credit scene, which is around Black Manta and Dr. Steven Shin. But yeah, all this stuff is, we have them, or the scene with them in the mid-credits scene. So, which is pretty much kind of like our setup for our possible Aquaman sequel, which I'm pretty sure we're going to get. But we honestly did not need Black Manta in this movie. As much as it was like, I don't know, maybe that's like your favorite character from the comic books. But when we start having multiple villains, if you will, then that's the one that's kind of like, okay, what is the goal here? And they tried to weave it in so that the two major villain stories kind of interwove with each other. But it still is like, I mean, if we got rid of Black Manta, honestly, look at the movie. If we got rid of that storyline, would we have lost much? Probably would have lost that cool fight sequence that happens in Italy. But I mean, we don't really need him, because then we have like all the team that he came with. So that still could have technically happened. I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there. Come for me if you want to, but that's just my opinion. So like, that's one example of something that could have got trimmed away or cut away and saved for a sequel. Because, I mean, if we're going to keep making more of these movies, then we need to put stuff in those other movies, and we don't need to overstuff the first movie. Because essentially, this is an origin story, and let's just have the origin story play out. We don't have to add in every single aspect of it into this one movie before we even get everything going. So, yeah, clearly, I felt some type of way about the whole story and the plot of this, but like I said, even though you're probably still not convinced that I like this movie at the end of the day, but it's not all bad things, because let's get into some of the things that I did like. Before I get into the most obvious one that I liked, let's talk about the casting. So I thought overall the casting was really well across the board. I did not know Nicole Kidman as an ass-kicking queen was something that I needed in my life, but I enjoyed her when we saw her on the scene, especially in that early fight sequence that we had her in. So yeah, I loved her. I thought that they did a really great job as far as casting the younger versions of Arthur. I did have a little bit of a moment in the theater when we got to teen Arthur and that whole scene when he finds out that his mom is dead. And I was just like, I probably was the only one. I know I was the only one in the theater who almost laughed at that scene. But I don't know. It was just something. I mean, I don't know where that kid is from or what other things he's been in. But it was just like, I don't know. It was not really believable to me. But hey, that's just me. Maybe you love that scene and you're like, what are you talking about? But yeah. So that did stick out to me a little bit. And I did almost chuckle out loud, but I held it in. And, you know, if someone was looking at me, they would have known I was trying to hold in laughter. But yeah, so I had a little moment there. But what else? Amber Heard, I have seen her in things before, but she was actually really liked her in this. And we did see her previously in Justice League for a little bit. So we kind of knew to expect her in this. And I honestly didn't have any type of expectations going into this. Honestly, overall, if we're going to be real and talk about the entire movie, I did not really have a lot of expectations going into this movie just based on what we gotten previously. So for me, I feel like if I set my expectations low or don't set them at all, then when I go in and it's actually good, I can be like, oh, wow, it surpassed my expectations. So that's kind of how I went into this as far as viewing. But I thought she did really well in this. I thought Jason Momoa, I mean, that he was the standout because, you know, the movie's called Aquaman. But I don't think that it should have been surprising that he was good in this movie just based off of his performance in Justice League, because we do get to, that's where we get our first introduction to Aquaman. And I'm going to talk about what it looks like going forward as far as Aquaman and DCEU at the end of this. But as far as his performance in this movie, I thought it was really well. I thought he hit his marks. It was a little, some of the funny moments, it kind of felt like on the nose, where it was like, flip my hair and wait for you to laugh at it kind of a thing. I kind of felt that a little bit on multiple moments, but there is that. Let's talk about the thing that I'm sure that you've seen all over the place that everyone's talking about, which is the standout for the film outside of Jason Momoa, is how the film looked visually. Now, it's called Aquaman, so we were going to be underwater, and I think I've talked about this before. I don't remember what movie it was that I was talking about, but for me, when I watch movies and we go underwater, I don't know about you, but I just get the feeling like I can't breathe and I'm holding my breath until we get from under the water. So going into this, I was a little bit hesitant because I knew there were going to be a lot of underwater scenes, and I like to watch movies for enjoyment and not to feel stressed out. So I was a little bit like, oh my gosh, I don't know how they're going to do this, these underwater scenes, but it all looked great. I didn't feel, when we were underwater, I didn't feel like we were underwater. And I didn't feel like we were, like I couldn't breathe watching those moments. As outside of what we were like underwater, of course, the action sequences, like I said, this was directed by James Wan, and he's done a lot of like kind of scary movies. You guys know I don't really watch scary movies, but he also did Fast and Furious 7. So, I mean, there's a lot of action in that. And the action scenes in this are really, really good. And I have to say, my favorite sequence was the one when they're in Italy and we have like the rooftop chase scene. That's like the standout scene to me. Probably would be, you know how every movie kind of has this defining action sequence if it's like an action movie. For me, it would be that scene, because it's just the flow of the scene, how the scene looks. It kind of also reminds me a little bit of like a video game, and kind of how we're kind of like panning out and seeing the action far away, and then we like zoom in on one part of it and then we pan back out and zoom back in. But especially the sequence where, oh my gosh, what is his name? I think his name is Merc, or whoever is chasing Mara, and he's like going through the buildings and then she's on top, and then you kind of see him like going down a level. I don't know, it just felt like a video game to me. I don't know if it felt that way for you guys, but it felt a little bit video gamey to me, but I liked it. And so I thought that really, really worked. Also, like the underwater action scenes looked really, really well. And even though at moments you kind of forgot you were underwater, but then it would be those little things that would happen. You'd be like, oh wait, we are underwater. And it was just like, I don't know, it was so good. Visually, the movie was really, really good. Also, I mean, I guess that ties into the land action scenes, because those were done really well too. So like, visually, looked amazing. Action sequences, thumbs up all around. Like, there is nothing really that I could complain about as far as that looked. Also, because I was a little bit curious, I was like, so how exactly did they shoot these underwater scenes? Because they're underwater, their hair and stuff is still moving. And like the actors, they can't just film this standing straight up to do this. And so I did a little bit of digging, and there is an interview or article that talks about that the actors were connected to this rig where they had on like a hip hugging harness. And for a lot of the guys, it was very difficult because it kind of hugged the crotch. And so it was uncomfortable to be in, and they were in it for long periods of time, but it was the only way to kind of get them to look like they were underwater. And for what it's worth, it all really worked and it all really came together really, really well. So I appreciated that. What else? Because I want to keep this short for you guys and actually make this a quickie. What else did I want to say? I mean, I think that's pretty much it as far as what it looked like visually. There is a video on Vanity Fair if you want to see James Wan break down that Italy fight sequence. He does that on Vanity Fair, so you can go watch that. It's like a little over 11 minutes, but it's very intriguing. And you guys know, I love stuff like that because I love action movies, and my favorite part is seeing how it all comes together. So yeah, and it's some interesting things that they do to get this all to work, which I was like, oh wow. Because I think about that when I'm watching, I'm like, okay, what part of this is actually real? What isn't real? Where's the stunt doubles? Like all that stuff, I want to know. So if you want to see that, you can go head over there and you can watch it on Vanity Fair. But yeah, I think that's pretty much everything. So let's talk about the future of Aquaman / the DCEU. So from the mid-credit scenes, like I said, we know that whatever the sequel to Aquaman will be, will most likely our main antagonist will be Black Manta and most likely Dr. Stephen Shin. We'll get to see Arthur being the king because we kind of saw him come into that, which I mean, I don't think anyone was surprised about. We saw him take his rightful place as the king of Atlantis. So we'll get to see more of that, which means we'll probably get to see more of Atlantis outside of them trying to prepare to pretty much decimate or take down the surface land, which I forgot to mention. One thing that I did appreciate, while it was so much stuff happening in the plot, I did like the fact that Orm's whole like reasoning for wanting to take down the surface land was that they were pretty much destroying their homes with all their garbage, and seeing all of that garbage on a lot of the news reels throughout that movie, I thought was like, oh, pretty much like real life. If the actual sea creatures and sea animals could talk in the real world, they would probably want to fight us too. So I'm just going to put that out there because I wanted to mention that. I forgot to mention that. So I was like, okay with that reasoning for doing it because we're pretty wasteful, but that's not what this is about. But yeah. So what else do we have to look forward to? A lot of people are saying, does Aquaman save the whole DCEU franchise? And I feel like they say this every time we get a standalone movie. I think personally that they need to, Warner Brothers and DC and all the people behind the scenes need to focus more so on building this universe as far as building it through standalone films and then trying again to come together and give us a multi-superhero film, because I think the issue that they had with Justice League, and there were a lot of issues, and you can go back and listen to my, I'm going to keep saying it. You can go back and listen to my discussion about that. But one of the issues from the mini issues was that, yeah, we know these characters, but we know them from the comic books and we don't really know them in this world. And so you just threw a bunch of people together who we don't really know. And then we're supposed to like really, really care about them. Or maybe that's just me, but that's kind of how I see it as. So I think they did it backwards, where they tried to throw at us this movie of a bunch of people together who majority of them we haven't really seen, and then expect us to want to be invested in this universe, whereas they should have did standalone films first to kind of build that awareness and build that loyalty and then given us that Justice League movie. So I think they need to continue to build this universe with standalone movies and then give us a really strong Justice League 2 or whatever the second movie is going to be, but it needs to be strong and they need to learn from mistakes, because again, we're about to talk about The Flash because we still have The Flash movie coming, and you guys know I love The Flash TV show, but we're going to have Ezra Miller as our Barry Allen, which I have no qualms about. I thought he did okay in Justice League, so I'm not worried about that. But there's a lot of behind the scenes drama, which seems to be the case for a lot of these DCEU movies, which then ends up meaning we get a movie that just is crap. I'm just going to put it out there. It's just crap. So a lot of that is happening with The Flash. And when you talk about Justice League and you talk about the first one we got, we're kind of looking at these people who are in Justice League as like our core team. And so therefore, our core team needs strong standalone movies. So far, that's been happening when we've broken away from trying to give us these overstuffed team films and just focus on that one person. So had they did that and not given us Batman v Superman, maybe that would have turned out differently. If we was just focused on Batman, or if we was just focused on Superman, maybe that would have turned out differently. But as far as a Wonder Woman, as far as an Aquaman, and now we have a Flash, like, these need to be strong films. From my standpoint, they need to be strong films, and then therefore we can have a strong core, and then therefore we can have a strong movie that includes all of them. Hopefully you're following, but that's just my viewpoint on it. Your viewpoint might be different, and that is okay. Let me know if it's different and why it's different, and then we can go from there. But yeah, so all this drama that I'm hearing with The Flash is kind of giving me pause just a little bit, and it's worrying me just a little bit, because The Flash is like another beloved character as far as when we're talking about DC. At least I think he is, because we have Batman, we have Superman, like we all know these people, Wonder Woman. But The Flash also, and especially after being on TV for the last few years, he's become like a beloved character of the DC, even more so than what he was with the comic books. And then you add on, like, you're adding on new audiences, trying to give you my viewpoint here before you try to come for me. But yeah, so when you keep adding on these new audiences who may not have experienced him through comic books, but they're experiencing him through these other mediums as far as TV shows and now the movies, then therefore he needs to have a strong movie. So I don't know if anyone from Warner Brothers or DC is listening to this. I have no clue. If you are, though, please do The Flash right. That's all I say. If you need to test it on audiences before you release it, like multiple audiences, then do that. But yeah, he just needs to have a solid movie. And that is, I'm going to get off of my Flash step stool and calm it down. But what else did I want to say looking forward? Yeah, I mean, as far as how I would rate these, still Wonder Woman, I think, is the top one for me. Batman v Superman is still at the bottom for me. And then sitting pretty much neck to neck is Suicide Squad and Justice League. But mind you, I have not watched any of these movies for a second time. So if I were to watch one of these movies for a second time, that could possibly change. But that's just how it is for now. So I'm going to wrap this all up and give you guys my rating for this. And I am going to land pretty heavily at a B-. And yeah, that's just how I feel about it. So if you rated this differently, or if you thought differently, or if you have something that you're like, Eva, yo, WTF, let me know. You can let me know by commenting on the most recent Instagram post related to this episode at Currently Binging, or you can tweet me, because I do tweet, at Current Binge. But yeah, let me know, and I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Stay up to date on new episodes by subscribing and following. You can find Currently Binging on multiple listening platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. Take the discussion beyond the episode by following on Instagram at Currently Binging and on Twitter at Current Binge.